Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include 20th Century Studios with Ella McKay, a new comedy from James L. Brooks, starring Emma Mackey, Jamie Lee Curtis, with Albert Brooks and Woody Harrelson. Ella McKay, in theaters December 12th.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, offering services to families who want to foster or adopt, including help with licensure or home studies and background checks. Information at O'ConnellChildrensShelter.org.
22 degrees in Lawrence, 27 in Manhattan, 32 in Chanute. It is 6:06.
PR News.
From the University of Kansas, this is KPR, Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence. Also at 91.3 FM in Junction City, many other frequencies all across the state. And going out over the World Wide Web at kansaspublicradio.org.
Support for KPR comes from City Wine Market, specializing in wines for every palate and striving to help find customers' next bottle of wine since 2010. More information at citywinemarket.com.
Stay with us. Coming up at 6:44, we'll tell you all about a new documentary. Hear a little excerpt from it. Profiling ranchers in Greenwood County, Kansas. It's one of those great Prairie Hollow productions. Dave Kendall putting it all together. And he provided this little excerpt, and that is coming up before we get 7 o'clock. At 6:30, we will have an update of news headlines. And then at approximately 6:55, we will remember the life and career of the great Steve Cropper, guitarist for Booker T and the MGs, great songwriter and producer, instrumental in the rise of Stax Records. He has died at the age of 84. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from KU School of Music, presenting the 101st Vespers. The seasonal music tradition returns December 4th, 7:30 p.m. at the Lead Center. Tickets at lead.ku.edu.
Following All Things Considered this evening, we have Classics Live on KPR 1 at 7 o'clock, then an hour of classical music with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. We have a holiday tango you don't want to miss. It's coming up tonight on your KPR 1 stations following All Things Considered. It's 6:20.
In the first term.
How the White House is trying to reach voters from the field. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
That story, what we know about the World Cup draw, all the latest national, international, and regional news, tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on your KPR stations. Join us for Morning Edition.
This month's KPR Community Spotlight is on O'Connell Children's Shelter, offering services to families who want to foster or adopt, including help with licensure or home studies and background checks. Information at O'ConnellChildrensShelter.org.
News headlines coming up in just about 30 seconds. It is 22 degrees in Lawrence, 30 in Emporia. It's 6:30.
For the protection of Israeli forces, where he was being tapped to lead an armed resistance against Hamas. Palestinian reports say he was killed Thursday in a dispute with a local family. NPR couldn't reach Abu Shabab's deputy for comment, but an Israeli defense official told NPR Israel believes he's been killed. Aya Beltrawi, NPR News, Dubai.
This is NPR.
For Kansas Public Radio News, I'm Laura Lorson with your regional headlines. The race to challenge Kansas Republican U.S. Senator Roger Marshall is heating up as 5 Democrats seek to run against him in 2026. The Kansas News Service reports that the candidates include a Kansas City, Kansas commercial real estate developer, an Overland Park immigration lawyer, and a retired business executive in Merriam. Plus, Democratic U.S. Representative Charisse Davids has hinted that she might run as well, though she has not made any official announcement. A win for any of these candidates would be historic. No Kansas Democrat has won election to the U.S. Senate in nearly a century. After Kansas State University head football coach Chris Kleiman announced his retirement, multiple outlets are reporting that his successor is already lined up. Zane Irwin has more.
K-State has not yet announced who will take over from Klieman, who led the Wildcats to 6 bowl games and a Big 12 championship in his 7-season run. But reporting from the Manhattan Mercury, the Kansas City Star, and others indicates the likely pick is Colin Klein, a former star quarterback at K-State. For the past 2 years, Klein has been Texas A&M's offensive coordinator, a position he previously held at K-State. In a statement, a spokesperson for K-State Athletics said they are working as quickly and thoroughly as they can to hire a new coach. For the Kansas News Service, I'm Zane Irwin.
An elementary school teacher in the Turner School District in Kansas City, Kansas, received a national award known as the Oscar of Teaching today. Lexi Otto, who teaches English language learners, was surprised at a school assembly with the Milken Educator Award and a $25,000 cash prize. She says Kansas and other states across the nation need more teachers.
To reward those, you know, who collaborate with their teams and their districts is just really valuable to the continuation of education.
Otto is the only educator in Kansas to receive a Milken Award this school year. The award was given by the Milken Family Foundation, a private foundation supporting education. Cold temperatures overnight, lows right around 19 degrees, sunshine tomorrow with a high in the mid-40s. The time is 6:35.
Support, sources, and methods. You heard me talking with NPR's Quill Lawrence and Tom Bowman. You can hear the whole episode wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
And you are listening to NPR News on Kansas Public Radio. I'm Laura Lawson. Well, lots of stories have been told over the years about young people leaving the farm and heading off to the big city. Today, we're going to hear that story in reverse about a couple in the Flint Hills who left the city and moved to the farm. It's part of a new documentary about ranchers in Greenwood County, Kansas. Filmmaker Dave Kendall interviewed a couple working at Salt Creek Farm.
Salt Creek Farm.
Community support. This community has just been amazing in their support and how they've shown up for us. And it's just been a great experience.
That excerpt came from the new documentary, An Oasis on the Prairie, Ranchers of Greenwood County, produced by Dave Kendall at Prairie Hollow Productions. The first public screening of this documentary is going to happen at the Granada Theater in Emporia on Sunday, December 7th at 2 p.m. For more information, just visit prairiehollow.net. From the University of Kansas, this is Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 FM in Lawrence, 89.7 FM in Emporia, lots of other frequencies too, and always online at kansaspublicradio.org, where you can participate right now in our quiet drive, trying to raise some money to offset the more than $240,000 that will not be coming from the federal government this year. But if you pledge right now, your pledge will be matched dollar for dollar by the Harrison Family Fund of the Douglas County Community Foundation. Thank you so much, whether it's a one-time gift or a recurring gift. Thank you so much for your support of this public radio station.
Support for KPR comes from the Eldridge Hotel, inviting all to downtown Lawrence for a holiday breakfast brunch, Saturday, December 6th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. Reservations and walk-ins accepted. Information at eldridgehotel.com.
It's 10 minutes before 7 o'clock.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the station and from 20th Century Studios with Ella McKay, a new comedy from James L. Brooks, starring Emma Mackey, Jamie Lee Curtis, with Albert Brooks and Woody Harrelson. Ella McKay in theaters December 12th. From Total Wine and More, where people can find wines, spirits, and beers for holiday gatherings at Total Wine and More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Available to adults 21 or older. From Arm, committed to delivering innovative, advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm. Arm.com. And from the sustaining members of this NPR station. President Trump is the nation's sports fan in chief. During his first term, Trump faced pushback from the sports world, which now largely embraces him. Tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
Join us tomorrow morning beginning at 5 o'clock from 5 to 9 a.m. whenever you drop in. You can be guaranteed to hear the latest national, international, and regional news and, of course, cultural features examining things like Donald Trump, big-time sports fan. Again, that's tomorrow, 5 to 9 a.m. on KPR.
Support for KPR comes from Nuvant House of Lawrence, offering care services to assist living, including day-stay, short-term, and long-term options. Information at nuvanthouse.com.
We're live, we're local, we are Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas, KANU, and KANU HD1 Lawrence 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City 91.3. KANQ Chanute 90.3. On the web at kansaspublicradio.org or tell your smart speaker to play Kansas Public Radio. Up next, we have Classics Live. At 8 o'clock, we will have an hour of classical music with Destiny. It's Tango Thursday. We'll hear a holiday tango. Stay tuned.
Support for KPR comes from Weaver's Department Store, serving Northeast Kansas from downtown Lawrence since 1857. Open 7 days a week, offering apparel, cosmetics, and housewares. Online shopping available at weaversinc.com.
Clear and cold tonight. Lows around 19 degrees. It is 21 degrees in Lawrence, and it's 7:01. Thank you.
Applause for the Chamber Orchestra of the Sunflower Music Festival 2025 with guest conductor Alex Klein. That was the Second Symphony by Franz Joseph Haydn. Welcome to opening night for Sunflower 2025. We're here in White Concert Hall at Washburn. I'm Cordelia Brown with Classics Live from KPR. Since last year's theme was firsts, so many first concertos, first symphonies to choose from, this year's theme is called Back for Seconds. In fact, next we'll hear the Second Symphony of Robert Schumann, an uplifting piece despite his depression and bad health problems throughout 1846. Here's Alex Klein, guest conductor tonight of the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival, to direct Schumann's Second Symphony.
Thank you. Thank you.
actually the third symphony he'd written. He wrote two previously in 1841. That was the so-numbered Symphony No. 2 in C major, Opus 64 by Robert Schumann. Completely sketched out over Christmas 1845, Schumann spent most of 1846 writing it all out and perfecting the orchestration. We've just heard Schumann's second symphony played by the 2025 Sunflower Music Festival Chamber Orchestra in their opening night performance from Friday, June 20th. Alex Klein, who's usually principal oboist here, took a turn as conductor. Chuck Smith is KPR's sound engineer, who records these live and local classical performances for Classics Live. I'm your classical friend and concert mate, Cordelia Brown. Productions of Classics Live are a production of Kansas Public Radio. Another KPR recording. That was concert pianist John Nakamatsu, who came to KPR March 29th, 2024, to play the third impromptu, Opus 90, by Franz Schubert. This has been Classics Live from KPR, Kansas Public Radio.
Support for Classics Live on KPR comes from Cromwell Environmental, serving Kansas and Missouri since 1982, with a variety of environmental services from indoor air quality and mold services to energy audits and solar energy installation. More information at CromwellEnvironmental.com. Stay tuned next for news from NPR, followed by Tango Thursday with your host, Destiny. From the University of Kansas, it's your place for NPR News, Kansas Public Radio. KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, FM 91.5. KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, FM 89.7. KANV and KANV HD1 Olsburg Junction City, FM 91.3. KANQ Chanute, FM 90.3. And always online at kansaspublicradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. U.S. military officials say they have conducted another strike on an alleged drug boat, this time in the eastern Pacific Ocean. A social media post from U.S. Southern Command states that the military conducted a, quote, lethal kinetic strike on a vessel in international waters operated by a designated terrorist organization. The Defense Department says four people were killed. Navy Admiral Frank Bradley told lawmakers on Capitol Hill today that there was no, quote, kill the all order from Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth during an attack on another alleged drug boat. Hegseth says he wasn't in the room on September 2nd when a second strike killed survivors of an initial attack on the vessel, but Bradley was. Rhode Island Democratic Senator Jack Reed, ranking member of the Senate Armed Services Committee, says the incident raises concerns about due process.
One of the problems we have here is if we don't insist upon strict observation of the rules of war, we can't expect our opponents to do it, and as a result, we're jeopardizing the lives of young men and women in our armed services. And that has to be foremost in our deliberations.
Lawmakers from both parties have questioned the legality of the administration's use of war powers against suspected drug smugglers. Congress hasn't authorized the use of military force. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that Texas can move forward with the congressional map that President Trump wanted and state lawmakers approved. As the Texas Newsroom's Blaise Gainey reports, it boosts Republicans' chances of keeping control of the House of Representatives.
The battle over which map Texans will use for the 2026 midterm elections had an impact that spread nationwide. Republicans came out victorious with this ruling. Their new map will likely give the GOP five additional seats. Texas House Democratic leader Gene Wu led a quorum break with lawmakers staying out of state to delay the map's passage. He says the move sends a message.
The Supreme Court allowing the maps to stand essentially means that what protections we have for voting, for communities, for people without as much power and without as much voice is over.
The ruling will also shake up which candidates decide to run in Texas. Austin Congressman Lloyd Doggett has said he won't run again if these maps were in place. He is yet to make that official. For NPR News, I'm Blaise Gainey in Austin.
A grand jury in Virginia has refused to indict New York Attorney General Letitia James for mortgage fraud after a judge dismissed another charge encouraged by President Trump. A judge halted that earlier prosecution of James and another longtime Trump critic, former FBI Director James Comey, after determining the U.S. attorney who presented the cases was illegally appointed. James said, quote, it is time for this unchecked weaponization of our justice system to stop. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Eric and Wendy Schmidt through the Schmidt Family Foundation, working toward a healthy, resilient, secure world for all. On the web at theschmidt.org. This is Kansas Public Radio.
Stardate December 4th. Most of the stars are so small and far away that they're nothing more than pinpoints, even in the largest telescopes. That makes it impossible to measure the size of a star. But astronomers can measure the sizes of some stars, not with a giant telescope, but with a collection of smaller ones. The technique is called interferometry. it links up several telescopes. The combo provides an especially sharp view of the heavens. If the telescopes are, say, 300 feet apart, then the combined view is as clear as that of a single telescope 300 feet in diameter. The array's view isn't as deep as that of a giant telescope, only as sharp. Interferometers have allowed astronomers to measure the apparent sizes of hundreds of stars. Combining that with a star's distance provides its true size. One example is Elnath, the second brightest star of Taurus. It's about 134 light-years away. It's five times the mass of the Sun, so even though it's much younger than the Sun, it's already passed through the prime phase of life. That's caused it to puff up to almost five times the Sun's diameter. At that size, it shines more than 800 times brighter than the Sun. A big beacon for the bull. Elnath is close to the lower left of the Moon this evening. The Moon will move toward the star during the night. They'll be closest at dawn. The gap will be smaller for sky watchers on the West Coast and smallest for those in Alaska and Hawaii. Our web address is stardate.org. For the University of Texas at Austin MacDonald Observatory, I'm Billy Henry.
The sleigh bells jingle, the shoppers mingle. I get a tingle from watching such a show. You can feel the magic in the air. It's what we call the holiday tango.
Red as bare,
as we all carry our presents to and fro. Red and green surround us everywhere. It's what we call the holiday tango. Good or bad, you know that Santa knows. Happy or sad, you know that Santa knows. Naughty or nice, always think twice before your name goes on the list.
Think of that. The Holiday Tango by Giplin here on KPR. A fun way to open this Thursday that I lovingly refer to as Tango Thursday. Hi there. I'm Destiny. I hope you're all having a wonderful evening. It is almost Friday. I've got the all-time ultimate tango coming up at around 8:30. My favorite, the Four Seasons in Buenos Aires. Oh, it's great. Great music, indeed. We've got a lot of fun things going on here at KPR. Don't forget Big Band Christmas is coming up, and we're also fundraising this week. You know, our federal funding is all gone, and the only way forward, by the way, for us is with your help. So, as the year ends, which I can't believe I'm saying it is, could you please put KPR in the category of things that truly matter to you? This is a public service, and listener support is the only way it stays available to all. We really need your help. You can start a monthly gift of just $15 today at kansaspublicradio.org, and if you do that, you can claim a KPR ornament. Perfect for Christmas. Thank you for your support. Well, something not Christmassy, but in my mind it still is. Haydn Symphony No. 83, The Hen. Why? Because a lot of people eat chicken for Christmas. And ham and many other things. Well, this is called The Hen because of the clucking sounds that you will hear. Not actual animals clucking, but instruments sort of sounding like that. The Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra is playing it for us. It's about 20 minutes. Enjoy on Kansas Public Radio. Thank you.
Thank you.
Haydn Symphony No. 83, The Hen, with the Amsterdam Baroque Orchestra here on Kansas Public Radio, 91.5 Lawrence and 91.3 Junction City. I am Destiny. I hope you enjoy your Christmas chicken or hen or meat or vegetables, whatever it is that you eat. Christmas is just around the corner. Indeed it is. And speaking of Christmas, support for classical music on KPR comes from Theater Lawrence presenting Irving Berlin's White Christmas, showing December 5th through the 21st. More details at theaterlawrence.com. And the University of Kansas, serving Kansas and the world through the development of new treatments for cancer, Alzheimer's disease, and more. Info about KU's research is at ku.edu. And Kansas Tree Care. Winter dormancy is the ideal season for pruning mature trees, especially elms and oaks. More information at kansastreecare.com. Or by calling 785-843-TREE. And now for Piazzolla's Four Seasons in Buenos Aires with Joan Folletta and the Buffalo Philharmonic. Tessa Lark on violin on KPR.
Thank you.
Piazzolla's Four Seasons of Buenos Aires here on KPR. I'm Destiny. Thanks for being here with me tonight. This is Kansas Public Radio from the University of Kansas for KANU and KANU HD1 Lawrence, KANH and KANH HD1 Emporia, KANV and KANV HD1 Ellsberg Junction City, and KANQ Chanute. And support for classical music on KPR comes from Kaiser Cummings Jewelers, more than 35 years of custom-designed, handcrafted jewelry in downtown Lawrence. Collection online at kaisercummings.com. And Love Garden Sounds, a vinyl record and CD store sponsoring the Vinyl Vault Hour on Jazz in the Night. Store details and buying policies at lovegardensounds.com.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Ryland Barton. The FBI has arrested a man for allegedly placing pipe bombs near the U.S. Capitol before the January 6, 2021 insurrection. The devices were found near Republican and Democratic Party headquarters. Attorney General Pam Bondi says Brian Cole Jr. of Woodbridge, Virginia, has been charged with explosives offenses.
Early this morning, Brian Cole Jr. was arrested and charged with placing the pipe bombs at the RNC and the DNC on January 5th, 2021.
Nobody was hurt before the bombs were neutralized, but the FBI says they could have been lethal. The U.S. has conducted another strike on an alleged drug boat, this time in the eastern Pacific Ocean. U.S. Southern Command said in a social media post that they conducted a, quote, lethal kinetic strike on a vessel in international waters operated by a designated terrorist organization. The Defense Department says four people were killed. An internal memo obtained by NPR shows the U.S. Department of Justice is telling prison inspectors to stop evaluating detention centers on standards meant to protect the LGBTQ community. NPR's Jacqueline Diaz has more.
In 2003, the Prison Rape Elimination Act, also called PREA, was passed to address sexual violence in prisons. As part of PREA, auditors visit detention centers to ensure they follow federal standards. But this new DOJ memo tells auditors to disregard certain requirements, including checking whether reports of sexual assaults were motivated by gender identity bias. Linda McFarlane, a longtime PREA advocate, says,
it's going to make people less safe. And when facilities are less safe for the most vulnerable and marginalized, they're less safe for everybody.
The DOJ didn't respond to NPR's request for comment. Jacqueline Diaz, NPR News.
Very few young Americans, just 13%, say the country is heading in the right direction. That's according to a new Harvard University survey of more than 2,000 18 to 29-year-olds out today. As NPR's Elena Moore reports, it comes as many say they're struggling with rising costs and are dissatisfied with politics.
The latest Harvard Youth Poll presents political challenges ahead of the midterms. More than 6 in 10 young Americans disapprove of Democrats and Republicans in Congress. On the issues, the economy is top of mind, and a plurality want to see the government address inflation. It also asked about political violence and whether certain circumstances make it acceptable. A majority said no, but a smaller, not insignificant portion think it can be justified in some contexts. For example, 28% believe political violence is acceptable when the government violates individual rights. Elena Moore, NPR News.
Google is out with its annual Year in Search list. This year's most searched terms include Charlie Kirk, K-pop demon Hunters, and Labubu. The U.S. stock market held near its records after an up-and-down day of trading. This is NPR News. President Trump praised the leaders of the Democratic Republic of the Congo and Rwanda as they signed on to a deal aimed at ending years of fighting in eastern Congo. The peace signing will also open up access to eastern Congo's critical minerals for the U.S. government and American companies. The Central African nation of Congo has been battered by decades-long conflict with more than 100 armed groups, many backed by Rwanda. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has proposed ending a rule designed to protect power plants from aircraft. NPR's Jeff Brumfield reports.
The Aircraft Impact Assessment Rule requires that nuclear plants be hardened to defend against a 9/11-style attack by a large airplane. The rule's been in place for over a decade, but the Nuclear Regulatory Commission now says it's no longer needed. According to a posting in the Federal Register, the agency feels that other existing rules provide sufficient safety requirements. The public has until January 2nd of 2026 to comment on the proposed end to the rule. The decision to get rid of the aircraft impact requirement comes as the Trump administration seeks a major overhaul of nuclear regulations in the U.S. Many of those changes are expected to come out early next year. Jeff Brumfield, NPR News.
There's a supermoon tonight. That's the phenomenon where the moon is closest to the Earth, making it appear larger and brighter, 14% bigger and 30% brighter than the faintest moon of the year. Tides could be slightly higher, though the difference isn't very noticeable. Tonight's is the last of three supermoons in a row in 2025. I'm Ryland Barton. You're listening to NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the estate of Joan B. Kroc, whose bequest serves as an enduring investment in the future of public radio and seeks to help NPR produce programming that meets the highest standards of public service in journalism and cultural expression.
Bud Powell and his solo recording of his own tune, The Fruit, opening tonight's Jazz in the Night on Kansas Public Radio. It's Thursday, the 9 o'clock hour. It's our all-vinyl hour here on KPR. And we took this from a wonderful 2-LP set called The Genius of Bud Powell that came out in 1976 and reissued recordings that Bud made in 1949, 50, and 51, including that remarkable solo session, Bud Powell. With the young Wynton Marsalis up next, 24-year-old Wynton Marsalis, we'll have West Coast bebop from the mid-50s from Curtis Counts, and also the brilliant bebop clarinetist Buddy DeFranco, a recording he did in 1958, to some of the music from the vinyl vault this hour of KPR's Jazz in the Night. Now here's Wynton Marsalis with Marcus Roberts at the piano, Robert Hurst III on bass, Jeff Tane Watts on drums. The album called Marsalis Standard Time, Volume 1 on Columbia Records. And this is what they do with Autumn Leaves on KPR. And an up-tempo romp through the standard autumn leaves on KPR from the vinyl vault, the album Marsalis Standard Time Volume 1, recorded in 1986, a little bit before Wynton Marsalis turned 25. And his regular band there, Marcus Roberts at the piano, Robert Hurst III on bass, and Jeff Tane Watts as the drummer. I'm Bob McWilliams here on this all-vinyl hour of Jazz in the Night, which we do in the Thursday 9 p.m. hours. And more trumpet on the way. We'll hear from Little Jazz, as he was nicknamed, Roy Eldridge, often seen as the link in the evolution of jazz trumpet between Louis Armstrong and Dizzy Gillespie. And then the brilliant Woody Shaw, who came along at a time when it was difficult for straight-ahead jazz artists to make an impact, as fusion and rock music were kind of sweeping them away, but he persevered enough to be recognized as one of the greats of jazz trumpet. That and more is on the way. West Coast Bebop from 1956 from Curtis Counts, West Point. West Coast jazz was not all cool jazz, as you will hear from the Curtis Counts group next. Support for Jazz in the Night on KPR comes from Maselli's, catering to Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, and the surrounding areas for almost three decades. Available for wedding receptions, business meetings, or other special events. Details on catering and venue options at Maselli's.com.